The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President of a company called Vizuri. Now, I'm going to spell that. I know it's kind of hard to pronounce on the radio. V as in Victor, V-I-Z-U-R-I. And we're going to talk about Red Hat, AWS, JBoss, Cloud Docker, OpenShift. We're going to talk about a lot of topics involving open source software and maybe business process management. And the reason I brought Joe in is he's very, very knowledgeable in the whole area of software and enterprise applications. And maybe he can give you some insight on where Red Hat may solve some problems for your agency, or maybe the whole idea behind Amazon Web Services and how can they fit with business process management, and your agency's trying to do this, and everyone's in the government's trying to move to open source, but they're scared. And I think Joe has a really good background on explaining all these topics for you. But before we drive into these topics here, Joe, tell us about your background and how you started working for this company called Vizuri, please.
Well, I started in software engineering back in 85, and I was working on mainframes, working out of New Jersey, doing intermodal for containers. And a software company in Virginia.
Back to containers here.
Back to containers. I mean, that was my first discussion with you with Docker.
Something.
So what it did was it brought me down here to a company called VM Software, which eventually got acquired by Computer Associates. What I didn't like was I didn't like working in fairly large organizations, and I wanted to make an impact. So I created Vizuri in 2002 by the benevolence of a company called AEM Corporation. We are the commercial business unit of AEM Corporation, which is a large federal systems contractor located in Herndon, Virginia.
So you're the brains.
We are the research and development and the commercial business unit. And what we do with the commercial business unit is we look for new technologies. We are in the technology space, and we're looking for continuous process improvement that we can codify with best practices in commercial. And we bring and we educate the government that these are valuable investments that they should be considering.
And by the way, if you're working for a Department of Interior and you're trying to figure out what the heck this Red Hat's all about and how to use JBoss, you can go to your website. Tons and tons of articles, very well written, thorough articles on very practical subjects. And I love there's like part one, part two, and part three. So you don't get bombarded with too much information about in an open loop. What you can do is a little bite size at a time and more and more and more. And I tell you, why don't you give us the name of the website and let people go? Because I think the blog is the story of the show.
Sure. The website is, like John said, it's hard to spell. We chose the name on purpose. www.vizuri.com. And the blog is just blog.vizuri.com.
Yeah, it's a real good one.
We named it an open view because what we wanted to do is we wanted to focus on the open perspective. Open source is such a tremendous business opportunity. It's just a different way that software is developed, right? With transparency, communication, collaboration, and community. And we believe in that. And we believe that innovation comes from the collective think versus an individual corporation.
And speaking of JBoss, innovator of the year for JBoss, working with a lot of Red Hat projects. And let me tell you something. I was at a Microsoft event, and their guest speaker was from Red Hat.
Well, you want to know something strange since the last time we talked, John? I am now a Microsoft Silver Cloud provider.
I'm going to run out the window. I don't know. I can't figure this out anymore.
Well,
there used to be teams,
is?
Obvious teams.
It's a confluence of technology. All of the cloud providers, because of the Docker format and container strategies, have enabled them to have ubiquitous workloads that go between all the hosting companies, whether it's a FedRAMP compliant data center, AWS, or Azure. And Microsoft came in and they approached us. We didn't approach them. 60% of the workloads that run on Azure Our Red Hat's Linux.
Isn't that I would lose that on Jeopardy.
So would I.
I'm trying to think of an analogy here. I live in a rural part in Loudoun County. And so you have this container here. You can put in a Ford pickup truck. You can put in a Chevy pickup truck. You can put in a Dodge pickup truck. We don't care what pickup truck you use. You want to get that container and get it to Baltimore or something, huh? Is that a parallel there?
It is. It is. It puts all of the necessary constraints with inside of a box, very much like a shipping container. So you can build, ship, and deploy it in the same manner upon which it was developed. So it reduces variation. And what it does is it gives your agency a higher degree of software capabilities, proficiency, and it reduces errors because you've been working with the same configuration management from the onset, not at the end when typically systems get pushed over the wall and then they have the arduous task of getting ATO'd.
Yeah, that's interesting. So AEM is the mothership, and you are the commercial business unit. But, boy, you provide so much information on so many different things. I went to your website this morning, and I saw stuff, Cloud Seeds, Business Rules and Process Management, Enterprise Full Stack, Enterprise Integration and Managing. CloudBees, what's CloudBees all about?
CloudBees is an open source project called Jenkins. It's the commercialization. Just like with Red Hat, they have Fedora, and then they have Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Well, you have Jenkins, and it's the best for continuous integration and continuous deployment. And it has really great scripts for building pipelines of moving code without human interaction. And the more that we're able to reduce information to process and repeatable process, the better off we'll be.
So when you discuss business process management, it's not someone buying a Starbucks and a donut. It is a business process inherent in business-to-business systems or large enterprise federal systems. Is that what business process management is to you?
It is for federal systems. A lot of people think BPM can be the movement of documents within a SharePoint server.
Hard to define it, I think.
It is. And then what they also think is it can be a loosely set of coupled processes within a workflow orchestration engine, and that's typically what it comes down to. You're able to model policies and procedures graphically that may at certain points, process points, have to rely on a depth of business rules to make a decision at that point, right, as to which direction to go within the process.
It makes sense. If you know, I'm working with a very large satellite company, and they have developers not only all over the spec, but geographically over the place, and they collaborate together. And what you have is you have different talent sets all throughout the United States and the world. And so this idea of a process management for a software task, it makes really good sense if you look at it theoretically. I mean, there's someone here who takes it and moves it to the next step, and this person may be in Seattle or Atlanta or Chundigarh. I mean, they don't know.
Right. Those automated processes we find within our SDLC, and those would be within our DevOps procedures.
I see.
The BPM processes that we're talking about, let's use an example of one of our insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go out there and collect information. We have to collect the information, and then when we collect it, we have to make assessments. And the assessments determine the eligibility of the customer. Once eligibility is also a multifaceted process where we have to collect blood samples, we have to do lifestyles, we have to do automobile records. So we have this interconnected way of pushing processes out, but keeping track of which ones are not coming back in time, which ones are not effectively being responded to.
It sure sounds like a federal application, doesn't it?
It is a federal application. Think about the Affordable Care Act,
right,
applying for insurance. Think about the Veterans Administration applying for benefits. You know, they're always under the gun and always under scrutiny for not serving the warfighter well when they come back. If they would, and I'm sure that they do have programs, but if they had tools like the business rules management system, you'd gain visibility into where the bottlenecks are, and then you can evaluate and try and do process improvement. That's the whole premise behind modeling your business processes.
And this is all on an open platform. Is that right?
Right now, yeah. We focus on open source and open standards because we believe that the power of the community and collaboration is important, and having transparency into how it's being done not only makes it more secure, right? More eyes looking at the code can really make sure that there are no software vulnerabilities. But at the same time, look at the power of contribution. My firm is a contributor into some of these software projects. And Red Hat and other open source companies take those contributions and they turn them into commercially supported software releases.
To benefit not only people in the federal government, people in Kansas, people in Brazil, all over the place.
Right.
It's open and be tested and viewed, and it's transparent.
You have a choice to use what they call their open source projects, right? The community ones. But we recommend against it. If you are running a business, you do need a support structure. Just because it's open doesn't mean it's free. And the reason is, and I wrote an article about this on my blog. I call it the opportunity source of community open source. When people use all the community products, they all of a sudden they find a bug. And all that they have is that 5 billion or however many million people are contributing to that project. But they're the only ones that can fix it. Where what Red Hat and them do is they cut it down, they do it, and they provide professional support tickets.
Let's take a little break, come back, talk more about open source software and Red Hat and some applications for my federal users. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President at a company called Visuri. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Joe Dickman. He is the Senior Vice President of a company called Visuri. I'm going to have to spell it out for you. V as in Victor, I-Z-U-R-I.com. Tell you what, if you want to do some book learning or reading, I mean, this is a great place to go and learn about all kinds of ways to use Red Hat and how to use containers and how to be careful with containers and don't fall into infinite loops. That's probably a whole class in graduate school for programming, how not to fall into an infinite loop. And we've been talking about Visuri, and I was doing my research, found out that Visuri is one of the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing companies. So you can pat yourself on the back there, huh, Joe?
Yeah, I think compliments go to the entire company. Visuri is the commercial division, mm-hmm. but we've been in business for 31 years, and I think it's a testament to our president, Sharon de Montsabert, that has been willing to diversify the company. Because if you look at us, we do professional engineering. We do Department of Education. We do technical assistance programs. We do State Department work. And we do engineering for the State Department for water and air quality safety. It's a really unique blend of companies, but all of them come together with the premise of serving the public.
Well, you touched on education, and I'm a big fan of education. You know, I teach at Georgetown, and I'm all about reading and learning and books. And so we talked about rules in the first block. Well, how can someone learn about these rules if they're working for a federal agency or working for a bank in New York? I mean, tell me about rules and the training programs have inherent with rules.
What we recommend is that people, whenever they go out for any technology, get the basic vendor training for the tool. They have to know how to use the widgets and they have to know how to use the tool to construct some things. But what we found is that there was a gap with our customers. While they wanted the tool, their internal knowledge with inside of their organization lacked. And what we do is we built a rules boot camp. And what it does is it teaches rules theory. And what we do is we have a 4-day instructional class. And you know, what's the motivation behind using rules? Rules is a declarative process, right? Declare the rules independently of one another and let the complex event processing engine make the decisions. Most people who are taught programming in school today are taught imperative languages. If then else conditions. But when you get mortgage underwriting, insurance underwriting, Affordable Care Act eligibility, it's far too complex for a single developer to do it. So we created this to shortcut people's learning curve and organizations' learning curves to have better adoption and quicker time to market for their solutions.
And this originated not from someone in an ivory tower. It was when your customers was knocking on your door and saying, hey, throw us a lifeline here. Give us a class. I mean, we have to figure out how these rules can be applied.
It did. It started with a company called Rail Inc. out of Cary, North Carolina.
And R-A-I-L?
R-A-I-L-I-N-C. Uh-huh. Rail Inc. is unique. They found us through inbound marketing, through our articles on our blog. And they called us. And it's a great mechanism. Don't be afraid to put content out there that you think you're giving away your intellectual property. Share your ideas. That's the same premise behind open source. Share and be part of the community. And they said they liked what we did. They liked our designs. How can we institutionalize that at their company? And they helped us build this class. And not only did they help us build the class for the developers, they helped us build the class for architects, because they wanted to know, how can we teach our people to do what you do? Although they like us, they probably don't want us on their payroll 365 days a year.
Yeah, that's interesting. The last time we touched on all kinds of specialized terminology, we talked about OpenShift and JBoss and AppDynamics. And let me just refresh this whole idea of, so where does OpenShift fit in this whole package?
Okay. What we do is the three business areas of Azure are enterprise integration, right? We know that they're legacy systems. People want to integrate with them. So we have messaging technologies. Then we move into process management. Process management is something that's really great because you externalize it from your software and your code. And then we move on to compute. A lot of people think compute is just virtualization. Well, with the advent of containers over the last 2 years and the Docker technology and the Docker format, OpenShift is a container platform management that uses Kubernetes. So what we do is we help customers right-size their applications to run in these environments. And at that point, they're writing very discrete services. So they all fit together in a continuum. And if you think of what we were talking about earlier before we got on the radio, was DevOps, right? The building of a Jenkins or a CloudBees application that does continuous integration and build, all of these technologies are used to remove variances and to remove anomalies through process. So they're all interrelated, but it's part of the next generation of software development life cycles with agile development.
JBoss, innovator of the year. So where does JBoss fit in this whole little panoply of products and services that you folks have?
JBoss is a product line by Red Hat that they acquired back in 2006. We were partners with JBoss since 2003.
Oh, you saw that curveball coming.
Well, we didn't see it. We wanted something different. When we created Vizuri, yeah, we saw a little curveball. I couldn't be Accenture. I did not want to be least cost. So I picked an area that just happened to be very successful. And Red Hat is the one. They commoditized open source software, right? They bring reality to it. They commercialize it. And JBoss is a suite of products. They have an application server. They have a business rules and process management. They have a enterprise integration with JBoss Fuse. And then their container platform is their compute environment that works on containerization along with Google's Kubernetes. So they built an ecosystem of products, and we can enter your company from any one of those aspects and add value.
So you knock on the door and you have your little toolbox there and you go, let me ask some questions, and you figure out what the best variation on these tools is, the way to solve the problem. And well, this is the good tool, but not right for your specific application from an enterprise architecture perspective.
You've been my greatest advertiser right there, because that's my that's my elevator speech, John.
When I'm Joe. I got a tool bag.
I'm here not to sell you anything. Yeah. I'm here to listen to where you are currently, what things that you've tried, what things that you don't like. And then after you describe your business processes, I will tell you which products fit and how they fit, not to sell them to you, which we are. We're an authorized reseller, and we'd love to sell them to you. But we want to help you pick the right products. And our knowledge, which, again, you said it, we put it out on our blog. You could self-educate or you can engage us. And we want to serve both sides of the community, ones that can afford us and ones that can't.
What's interesting is you pull in your tool bag, you can pull out Microsoft, you can pull out AWS, you can pull out Red Hat. Well, let me see. Okay, this is a good I think it's one thing to have passing knowledge of some of these applications like BRMS, but it's another thing to be able to deploy it successfully, have repeat customers, and then have Red Hat recognize you for that expertise. It's like, oh yeah, I knew everything about phishing in Seattle, but then the expertise you bring and that tool bag is a different type of tool bag. It's a very deep tool bag, and maybe it's a virtual tool bag that all kinds of things can come out of it.
One thing that we did recently was we found that customers who are evaluating business process management would always ask us, well, how's this going to perform for my system? And we always used to say, a terrible word that a consultant will say is, it depends. So what we did was the Red Hat BRMS product, BPMS product, has something called Knowledge is Everything. And they have a test harness framework. So we wrote, I think, about 16 different combinations of different types of business process models, some with persistence, some with not. And we ran thousands of simulations on AWS. And the beauty is we gave the code away. And the reason that we gave the code away is we want customers and potential customers, even if they don't use us, to download our code, read our white paper, validate our results, but more importantly, model your processes with this framework and then run them in simulation. And then you can see and you can answer that question yourself. So again, it helps us get to our customers by showing that we've understood the pitfalls that they're going through and we're helping them get through them without it being a chargeable event.
Let's take a break and come back, talk more about open source and different tools that people can use. And the next block, we're going to use hashtag container strategy. That's kind of an innovation there. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President of Visuri. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Joe Dickman. He's the Senior Vice President of a company called Visuri. I'll spell that for you. V as in Victor, V-I-Z-U-R-I.com. They got a great blog. I was reading it on my phone this morning because it's responsive and very nice. You get a big old fat headline. It says, want to read more? No. Scroll down to the next one. Want to read more? No, what's going on next? And so it's very, very user-friendly and all kinds of interesting topics, and they divide it up into sections and all kinds of interesting information. If you are on Twitter, and I guess who isn't these days, you can follow them at the numeral one and then V-I-Z-U-R-I. And when we talk about Twitter, we talk about hashtags. And this is the hashtag I want to talk about, hashtag container strategy. 4 years ago, no one had a container strategy except maybe a Norfolk there with all those containers. So I got Joe in the studio. Okay, Joe, so what the heck is container strategy?
We talked about this during our last visit, but container strategy is the ability to package, build, and deploy your apps as a contiguous unit. All of the dependencies, the application, the software, it's self-contained. So just like with a shipping container, it's portable. And that brings us into compute environments that now the consumer has choice. They have choice to move it to Amazon Web Services. They can move it to Microsoft Azure or any other organization that's part of what they call now. And container strategy is important, John. It's the Open Container Initiative. And if they look it up, the Open Container Initiative is a consortium of major software vendors trying to get to a standard format so there is interoperability and we're not going down these rat holes with software companies trying to one-up one another with some special feature.
Right, proprietary container. You know, I remember it was 2 or 3 years ago when the first DockerCon in San Francisco, there's like 100 people showed up and I turned to my son and said, you know, Kevin, I just hope they don't, you know, balkanize. I hope they come up with a standard. I mean, the railroads in the United States grew because they had a 4'8" standard, and if you don't have a standard, you're not gonna. And I hope they've come up with some kind of standards for this, and then you can plug and play in different applications. So I hope they're doing something fine. Earlier in the interview, we talked about Red Hat. Then we talked about Microsoft. Then we talked about all kinds of things. Let's talk about Oracle. And so you also work with Oracle?
We do. Our parent company, being in the DoD is a big consumer of Oracle Exadata, which is basically, it's an engineered solution for databases. It has hardware, it has the software, and the kernel and everything is performancely tuned to serve them. And what we do with them is we're really a recognized industry expert, or our AEM business unit is. And they do planning, they do installation, configuration, migration, and optimization services. And it's a good thing for the government because a lot of them are now on multiple versions of Oracle and they're looking to scale out. And this is a natural progression. And we have it personally. I've got an Exadata machine as a federal hardware sitting in my office out in Herndon, Virginia.
And I've got some listeners who are behind the firewall and have to keep it within the building because of certain
Absolutely.
Security requirements, let's say. So how's that for being discreet?
Well, you know, there are things we can and cannot talk about.
Yeah, there's certain agencies
it's on a need-to-know basis, right, and right now we can't share what nobody needs to know.
However, what's interesting is that you can take the power of Oracle and combine it with open source and still use it in a secure environment behind a firewall and have all the benefits of all the newer technology.
It is. All of the JBoss products and the middleware and the OpenShift have received ATOs, authority to operate, or interim ATOs. So we're looking at stigging all of those machines and stigging all of those processes to harden them and to meet all the DoD security compliance. And they operate at some of the highest levels in the government. And you know, we're bringing our solutions to the federal government too through our partners. So we will participate with large systems integrators as CSC, CSRA, working on projects. So Vizuri, at their core, will not be the prime on a federal contract. AEM Corporation will be, but we will work for many of the others. We're a very good partner bringing Docker, DevOps, and containerization strategies to many large systems integrators.
Well, as long as we're name dropping, I drove in here this morning and I was on the access road and I saw this big building with big Amazon Web Services on it. And I said, oh my goodness, last summer I was at an event and it was so crowded. The parking lot was full. They were turning back people. They ran out of food. You had to like put your food on someone's head in order to eat it. It was just jammed. It's the Amazon Web Services big event this summer. And they're becoming the big dogs in town because they're very loose and interoperate with many different organizations. And you've got an AWS component too to your whole practice.
We do. It is one of our strongest requests that we receive. And the strongest request we receive is running Red Hat's OpenShift on AWS. We have a public case study that you can find on our blog from a company called Edlogix. Edlogix is an education as a service platform. So what they do is they seek on setting out to do health literacy, which is a big subject in the government, right? You want to do preventative versus prescriptive care. So what they found is that they built a product that is responsive in design. It runs on your phone, but it uses gamification. And they came to us with a simple virtualization style application. And they said, there's no way for us to scale this to take it to an agency. We need it to be multi-tenant. We need it to be containerized. So that's what we did for them. We helped them bring their application. We re-architected it so it can be living comfortably in a container. And then we helped them scale it out for multi-tenancy. So now their compute platform is using AWS on demand, which saves them a ton of money. Plus, they can get HIPAA-compliant and PCA-compliant environments along with FedRAMP that they don't have to procure, which is all within the AWS platform.
I once saw this T-shirt. It said, big dogs don't have to leave the front porch.
They
just stand up there and they can intimidate anyone. So AWS, big dog. Microsoft, big dog. Red Hat, big dog. Let's talk about little dog. Let's talk about AppDynamics. And I noticed on your website that you partner with AppDynamics, and I've been around since 2008, and they do app performance management, IT operations analytics. Another component I would think would be part of cloud and Red Hat, but this is a separate whole category of performance measures here.
In each of the tools that come out with all the cloud providers, they will give you a look into the characteristics, and I call them barometers. They will tell you when your threads are high. They will tell you when you've hit your max connection pooling. What AppDynamics does is it does the heuristics and the measurement across boundary lines. So we are constantly collecting and instrumenting information. So in a graphical view, I could see when a request originates, crosses over to the app server, crosses over to the database, hits a web service, and I'm tracing that. Not only am I tracing
it. One ring to rule them all or one ring to measure them all.
I get response times and it builds a database of normal response. So over time, if they start misperforming, they notify you in advance. They go, so it reduces mean time to repair and mean time to solve the problem.
That used to be called load balancing.
Yes, it did. So there are many other technologies. A lot of people do it with Splunk. They'll do log aggregation. They'll do events, and they'll sift through it for it. But AppDynamics, we resell it and we use it because it makes our work better. When you're working in distributed containers and distributed systems, you need to know where the underlying problem resolves. And not only can they identify, they do deep root cause analysis. So when an error event occurs, they start and they turn on their logging and you get a really deep snapshot. So we can go back and figure out where it is before our consumers are ever affected.
Where the logjam is, where the bottleneck is. Yes. Oh, look at here. This is, and by the way, we should prioritize for this. I mean, on phone systems, you have QoS, quality of service, that prioritizes voice packets. What about larger systems? Well, have to prioritize certain information. And what about encrypted traffic? And what about viewing encrypted traffic? Well, guess what? There's people listening to the show that deal with a lot of encrypted traffic, aren't there?
AppDynamics is a wonderful component that we always put with inside of OpenShift. And we have it right now with Edlogix too. And what we want to do is we want to see where people are bogging down because it's such a rich multimedia gamification environment. We could be putting things out there that could be causing distress to our consumers that we don't know about. So we want to look at it ourselves for user experience, not so much for just performance bottlenecks and compute time, but we want to look about it for adoption. Right? If we have people that don't like using the app, they won't use it. It's the same thing in the government. You could have a beautifully well-designed app, but if nobody ever uses it because there are inherent bottlenecks and such, we're going to be stuck.
And we can't be stuck because we have to break for a message. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President at Visuri. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We've been talking to Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President at a company called Visuri, kind of not a radio-friendly term. I want to spell it for you if you want to go to their website, Vizuri.com. Now, we started, the ostensible goal was to talk about open source. We wound up talking about a lot of open source projects. We started talking about Red Hat and Microsoft. We even talked about Oracle, AWS. And there's so many products out there and so many changes. We talked about this phrase, container strategy, which didn't exist 3 years ago. Now, there's a whole strategy behind containers, and it's changing so fast. Well, Joe, do you just not read, or how do you keep up with all this stuff?
I have a very educated and well-diverse staff, and because we take a proactive marketing approach at putting content out, we have a technology radar. I challenge my team to bring me new and innovative technologies that we believe that are going to have an impact on business or society. And then what we do is we do research, we write blog articles, and we trial them. Not all of them succeed, John, but some of them, you know what? We get in early, and if you remember, we were the first Docker partner. We signed up 3 years ago.
You were the first Docker partner.
And we hold their GSA schedule. We are one of three schedule holders for Docker. But in addition to that, you have to be doing research and presenting at conferences, because if you're not, you're not risking enough of gaining what doesn't work. And we realize that we do fail.
And you got to have someone in the back room stand up and say, Joe, you know what you're talking about. What about X, Y, and Z? And that's where growth happens. Oh, I never realized that on FIPS 140, it does blah, 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 blah. Oh, really? And I think that's important. It's the face-to-face. And maybe after you speak and you're down in the audience and someone comes up to you and goes, oh, Joe, you know, have you ever thought of – and that happens to me. It's like, I didn't want to interrupt you because you're up there telling bad jokes. But you know, Joe, that really it's not going to work in Red Hat because of this.
Yeah. I get a lot of knowledge from the people that participate, from the people that contribute to our blog. I mean, I have customers, we don't post a lot of our comments out there. We think that that's kind of the wrong thing to do. Oh, it's great. Oh, it's this. But you know what? We get into conversations with them and they change our thinking, because innovation can happen from anyone. And we get a lot of our thought from our customers, the unique problems that we talk to them about, John. That's why we love talking with federal agencies in what we call our envisioning meeting. Because as we envision their solution, they give us all of these problems. And then from those problems, they give us challenges of how to solve them. And sometimes they have the first mover advantage on technology, but they might not have the resources to research it. And that's what we do. We go out and we research it.
And I think I need a staff like that. Every week I sit down with a tech company, we talk about this and that, and then I come back and I scratch my head and go, whoa, container strategy. Now I have to container strategy for dummies and read that book. And then I have to worry about mobile device management. Then what about packet encryption and decrypting on the fly? And we had Micron Technologies in here last week, and they talked about innovations in data storage. Apparently, you can have different types of data that can be tweaked to different types of databases. I never even dreamed of that. And there's so much stuff going on. And by the way, I'm talking about Micron again. They employ 2,000 people in hardware out in Manassas and a lot of veterans. I'm saying, with people talking about jobs here, Micron Technology just shuts up and hires people. So what a good group of people.
It is a good group of people hiring the war fighters and supporting our communities. That's what we believe, too, at AEM. We have military backgrounds, and we want people that have had that discipline and that have that desire to work for a company and not so much job hop.
Speaking of job hopping and jobs in the future and hardware, so now we got to put your feet to the fire here, buddy. Exactly in 5 years. Yeah, that's a good one. Container strategy didn't exist 5 years ago. So 5 years from now, where are we going to be looking at?
I don't know where we're going to be in 5 years, John, but I'll tell you what I'm tracking. The feed of information in real time is becoming omnipresent. Everybody reacts to data in real time. There are a couple projects. There's an Apache Kafka product. There's also an Apache Spark product. The Kafka product is distributed streaming. So streaming data, which gives us real-time data pipelines. And what you would do is you would have events that siphon off those pipelines that can then interpret the data and make complex decisions. They also create streaming apps, right? And the instances that we'll use are healthcare or applications, right? As insurance claims come in and a stream comes in, it might kick off 20 processes. It might evaluate business rules. These are things that we're tracking because we believe that that whole open shift, everything will stop shifting from independent servers to an integrated set of services all operating in harmony. And Kafka is one of the ways to start building streaming apps. And that's something that we're looking at and evaluating.
I never read in the native language Kafka's Metamorphosis, but I remember reading in English at one sitting. And maybe that's what they're talking about, changes and managing change. And maybe that's the tip of the hat to Kafka and his craziness. And it was a crazy story. He thought he was a spider. And maybe that's what the Apache's trying to say is, look, you know, we're undergoing a lot of changes here. Well, all we can do is provide a framework, a foundation to allow that innovation to take place. Because maybe containers will evolve into something in 5 years that we couldn't have imagined now. And I think it's going to have to, because how else we handle this so much information coming in? I mean, with petaflops of information. Peta? Yeah. How much can you handle?
It is. We have another customer out of South Carolina that is the largest distributor of gasoline pumps and stations. And they're coming to us for streaming data. They get all this pump data. They want to know mean time to failure. They want to know supply chain integration. And they want to know it based on extra data that's on the outside. Is weather affecting it? Is the holiday traffic? Is a certain surge in gas price? And these are things that only can be done through these types of applications and true data sciences, machine learning, neural applications. And that's another area that we're largely invested in.
I was reading a blog this morning on your site, and it talked about dynamic questionnaires.
Yes.
And this is something I think that software developers really enjoy because they understand branching logic. And it's sometimes people that don't have that training get confused by it. So dynamic questionnaires with JBoss and insurance, this would be like someone filling out an insurance form. And if you're under 50, then you go here and you branch. So that's what a dynamic questionnaire is.
No, it's actually a little different. Underwriting questionnaires for insurance companies, applying for medical insurance through the ACA, you're either eligible or you're not eligible. And based on the answer that you give, why do you have to, on a paper form, fill out and skip to question 15? Why doesn't the application dynamically throw up the next question that is logical? And as you answer questions, ask the recursive question. And we give that design away. That's a piece of code that you can download and run right now. And we also mobile enabled it. And we're presenting this year at Red Hat Summit in May up in Boston on another one, which is extending our dynamic BPM and mobile applications into other enterprises. Again, it's another form of teaching to say, these are the best practices. But any federal agency that collects data from a constituent that has a highly complex or changing business model, you will need business rules, dynamic forms, and a workflow management. And this sample application, and it is a sample, shows you a basic architecture that you can employ and run today. The code's out on our GitHub repository, and you're more than free to download it and use it at your discretion.
I'm going to take a train up to New York for a day trip in April. I guess you're heading up there in the next couple of weeks, or when are you going up to New York?
I am. On March 16th, on February 16th, I'm doing a talk at the Capitol Grill in New York City for Red Hat. I'm talking about API digital strategies that include JBoss Fuse and OpenShift for microservices. A lot of companies are using APIs. They have a lot of web services, but they typically deploy them in one big server, or they might segment them to two servers. What's missing is a service level agreement, metering, monitoring, and really understanding where your consumers are coming from. So we're going to talk about business strategies using these types of tools for scale out and for competitive differentiation.
I just thought of a title, Getting Control of Your Microservices Before They Control You. I mean, that's what has to happen. It's like, well, how do you measure them and get control of them? Because they're just like, they're weeds. All of a sudden, you think of a full-blown app. No, it's not even an app. It's just a microservice.
I bet there are many listeners right now that are listening that run federal agencies that can go out, and I want them to count, and please send me an email, count all of your web services that are deployed in a single application server, and then tell me if you have any taxonomy, metering, or structure. You probably don't. And if you don't, you should, because that's the only way that agencies can have service levels and improve the quality of our government transactions between interagencies. It's a really good business strategy for customers that want to evolve their IT systems.
So the whole goal here is to use modern software with a solid foundation in engineering.
It is. And that's what's lacking today in
today's world, federal and commercial as well. We have to end the interview here. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Joe Dickman, Senior Vice President of a company called Visuri.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.